Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Foch's Corner with Coach Phony Bennett, the king of UVA basketball Twitter, alongside TW All About in Cali and my main man, Faris Wasim. I am Mark Jerome. Coach, it's been a long time.
It has. Like, I had to reintroduce myself to everybody.
What's happening in Twitter world, in your Twitter world?
I mean, I think it's really quieted down. I mean, there was so much tension over the guys transferring in. Like, there was kind of the shockwave of guys transferring out for those that didn't see it coming. And I think individually, we all probably saw these transfers coming. And then it actually comes and it's still like, okay. And then seeing who's going to come into the program. And I think folks are feeling pretty relieved now. So it's been kind of quiet since Gardner committed.
Yeah, we haven't gotten everyone's feedback on it since it's been so long. First one, Casey, thank you for your hard work, contribution. He's now since committed to NC State. What are thoughts on the interconference transfer? Like, that hasn't happened before, so this is...
Yeah, that's a weird thing to get used to because, yeah, I mean, you used to have to sit out 2 years, I think, if you transferred intra-conference, but you know, good luck to him. Like, I'm not surprised at all. I don't think any of us are surprised by it, right, Mark?
I'm not surprised that what? Did he transfer? I'm not surprised where he went. I'm not surprised.
Not surprised that he transferred.
No. There were rumors during the winter, during midseason.
Yeah.
I heard from some guys in DC. I mean, it's just rumors, so I don't want to spread them and I don't know, but you could see everybody wants to play. Everybody wants to start. Everybody wants to get minutes, consistent minutes. And his minutes were off the bench and not consistent. I think he had to strongly consider transferring. And what was his future at UVA? Right?
Right. You could tell it just really wasn't working for anybody.
Yeah.
If somebody else leaves, right? If another guard leaves, and what still they're going to bring somebody else in. So is he always going to be a sixth, seventh, eighth man? And his minutes are going to be somewhere between 7 and 18? No one wants to stay for that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, he didn't seem all that happy either, honestly. I mean, how can you be when your minutes aren't great? Yeah, go ahead, Farris.
For him, I mean, Kevin Keyes is very guard-oriented, so good for him. He's going to be in a guard-oriented program, so.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, you know, he wants more freedom on offense, which I think he'll get there. And, you know, we'll see if that pays off for him. I mean, I wish the guy personal success. You know, I don't wish the NC State program success, so it kind of tears me a little bit, but it'll be interesting to match up against him. I've never seen that.
It's hard to root for somebody that's not a good kid. Yeah. Right? He's a good kid.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He really is. And
so friendly.
At least my experience with him is. And so I can't root against him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to root for him when he plays UVA.
Right.
I'm not going to wish anything bad for him. I'm going to wish him success at NC State. I'm not going to root for NC State to do incredibly well. I'm not going to root against them.
Yeah. I mean, he just seemed like he needed a change of scenery, right? His first year he was ranked the worst three-point shooter in NCAA and then didn't improve all that much the second year. And then, you know, rumblings from people around him were that, you know, he thought he should have gotten a – more of a shot or whatever. So I hope he gets happy and gets more opportunity.
Yep.
And I think he made a good choice. NC State's a little bit more of a roll the ball out there and let's see what happens, at least on offense. So let's see how
I mean, sometimes guys, and I think we compared him to Shayok, they just don't fit.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do offensively. They're, you know, what they bring, but they're going to fit much better in a different puzzle. So hope it works out for him.
Question for Faris: When you see this happen, do you think this is like a recruiting miss? Like, we didn't see how he would fit, or do you think this is just we rolled the dice with him and it didn't work out, kind of thing? Or
it's not a recruiting miss. I mean, it's you recruit to how you recruit to, you know, get players that fit your program and your style. And I mean, you're not going to hit on all of them. Like, it's impossible to hit on all of them. So, I mean, you do what you can. And I mean, we have a pretty good track record of hitting on guys. So, I mean, you're not – at the end of the day, you play five guys, and even if he was a good fit, he wasn't one of the five guys consistently on the court. So, like, I mean, what, you can't force him to stay. So
right. When he committed, if you told me he hit 10 threes his second year of playing, I would have said that didn't really work out like we wanted it to. It didn't work out like any of us wanted it to. Yeah. So can't blame him.
At least he's going to for him personally, I'm sure, at least he's staying in the ACC and getting an opportunity. So the replacement, I'll kind of go one off. Next one. We're excited to add Armon to the Virginia basketball family from Indiana. Armon Franklin. I hope I'm saying that right. Am I? Armon? Is it Armon?
Armon.
What do we know about him? Mark, have you talked to anybody about him?
So I have not. We're going to get one of the Indiana coaches on.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
We'll do that next week. Who coached him?
Great.
Who I know fairly well, a guy from Westchester County. So we'll get him and he'll give us the whole scouting report.
Awesome. Forrest, have you heard anything?
I haven't heard. I mean, when I saw that it happened, I looked up, his stats and his film. I mean, good scorer, can shoot the ball. I mean, I watched a little bit. Definitely a great piece in addition. He was probably fairly sought after. He's a good guard, averaged double digits in the Big Ten. So I think it's a great get.
Yeah.
Seems like I saw somebody post some kind of scoring metric that had him as the number one available guard. I don't scout a lot of the transfers, like when I hear a guy's associated with it, because I mean, that is just such chaos and constantly moving. But a lot of Indiana fans tweeted about just what a great kid he is. So I'm excited.
I mean, Indiana didn't have a great year. So that's always a kind of what's going on here? But we'll see. What's up, Fred? Fresh, just joined. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm a chronic Indiana hater under Archie Miller. So I kind of watched I watched a lot of them this year. It's crazy. I don't remember him, but what jumped out to me, which Ferris just said, is his jump from first year to second year. Went from two or three, maybe four game to 10 or 11. And so it looks like he did some work and came into his own, and we should be excited about it. Jay Willie's very excited.
Yeah. This is a good one.
Yeah. The coaching staff they're high on him. Yep. And Dougie, he went from 4 points a game to 11 and a half points a game. And he went
big jump, man.
13 and a half, almost 14 minutes a game to 30 minutes a game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is that mostly because of opportunity, I imagine, or?
I don't know. All the while his coach was holding
him. I think also, the coaching, but also how much better someone gets a lot of times between first year and second year.
Yeah.
Right, on any level.
Right. I always think it's second year to third year for regular guys. Like, you know what I mean? Like regular guys, but some of these kids are not regular guys, and it happens a lot quicker. So, I mean, he passes the proverbial eye test. Look at him right there.
And the Big Ten was good this year.
Yeah.
They didn't show it in the tournament, but they were good.
And this next one, everyone wants to hear Phony's reaction to this.
Oh, yeah.
Kristen McCoy off to, and again, in conference, UNC.
Right.
What are your thoughts? What are your daughter's thoughts on it? I think you're muted.
Coach, you're on mute.
Oh, sorry about that. You kind of have to break down like the two parts of it. One is his leaving, and the second is his going to UNC. And I'm sad that he's leaving because he's a kid I wanted to see more of, and I think he wanted us to see more of him too. So I think we're on the same page there. You never know what's going on behind the scenes and stuff. And of course, the team does a good job of making sure there's nothing, nothing negative or anything. So, I mean, I'm just, it makes me sad that he's left, but I don't know, I wish we knew why, really, or why he wasn't getting more minutes, because I thought he was producing. But going to UNC is just, it's brutal. It's a gut punch. Like, I can deal with going to NC State a lot better than I can deal with going to UNC, because they're the enemy. And, I'm typically not wishing any success on their program. And so that kind of tears me.
What are your thoughts, Forrest? I mean, he started the season. Like, he was a starter in the first game, and then he's kind of declined since. But thoughts on
I guess it's the same with he just I don't I feel like he never consistently got into a rotation. He was here and then there and then, you know, on the court, off the court. So I feel like he never got consistently in the rotation. So I mean, all guys want to play. They want to play as much as they can. So when you see a guy transfer, they're probably thinking, well, I'm not probably going to play here as much as I want to. So
right.
I gotta go somewhere where I can play and develop. And everyone, whether delusional or not, everyone has aspirations to play at the next level. So everyone wants to, and to yeah. play at the next level, you got to play at this
right.
level.
So. Right, right.
Part of me thinks there's a player who's at UVA, didn't get a ton of minutes, and transferred to UNC to get more minutes. And that feels so weird. That's just like, right. That's right. As 2021 as you get, right? I just have no clue what to think. But
down is up.
I mean, I imagine Caden coming on when he had that little brief stretch where he was feeling good probably is a sign for him, like, oh, he's going to play more than me when he gets back. I have no idea, but that probably played into a little bit. I don't know. Fresh, what were your thoughts?
I'm just looking. Is that a Papa shot right there, Faris, behind you?
It is. My bachelor awesome. Pad. My bachelor.
Right, get some jumpers up. You know, I don't know. I think I've said it time and time again. You know, Justin had a taste of the University of Virginia because he played there as a first year. This last year, there was no university. There were no friends. There were no outside students.
Yeah.
I think it's a chance for him to go back. I think he's from around that area.
Yeah, he is.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to UNC. Can anybody hate anybody for going to North Carolina to play basketball? I don't think so.
Yeah.
He's probably excited with Hubert Davis coming in. So they're both first years in a sense in that program. I can't hate anybody for going to the University of North Carolina to play basketball from 1970 to 2021. So from our side, you know, I think he kind of got jacked around, for lack of a better word, in terms of playing time. And I'm not sure what went into that. I saw him look very comfortable at times, more so his first year, in my opinion, than last year. I saw him look very uncomfortable at some points this past season. No, I'm talking. And
would not be a show without my man, Ty.
Ty, yeah. Welcome to Ty.
Yeah. Go, Ty. Do it. So, you know, I'm going to follow him, man. I want the best. I did see, I think he put something about he had the key to get out of jail or something today on Instagram. TW, you saw that?
Yeah, I did. You got the key to get out of jail. I don't know what that is, meant.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he was doing some dribbling moves and three guards. Guys.
So, anyway. Mark, what were your thoughts? So we haven't heard your thoughts, Justin. We could probably, I didn't do a Jabri one. Jabri's in the mix here too.
Well, we can come back to Jabri.
Okay.
But I think that with Justin, from what I'm hearing, is one of the things I'm hearing while I transferred, and I don't know if this is true or not, but just so maybe I shouldn't say it, but he wants to play some guard.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Everyone wants to play some guard.
Yeah. Right. But you know, at 6 foot, how tall is Justin? 6'7"?
Yeah, maybe 6'7". Let's say 6'7".
Yeah. Coach, how tall is he, Coach?
Yeah, 6'7".
He's not a traditional big man at North Carolina. North Carolina is one of the few schools that still plays a traditional big man.
Yeah.
They still run a system where they try to get the ball down low to the big guy.
Right.
And all those big guys vacated, not all of them, but a couple of transferred. I think one is trying to go to the draft, applied for the draft. I'm not sure where Justin sees him. I'm curious to know where Justin sees himself, and I'm curious to know where Justin, what position they have him playing.
Yeah.
Listed as 6'8 on the website.
Yeah. Right. And I think that, you know, one of the issues with him being at UVA is just trying to find his position and trying to get comfortable. And I'm not sure he ever did it. I'm not sure whether he's given a chance to or not. I don't know. I'm not at practice, so I can't determine that. None of us are. And at UVA, every practice is an audition. And if you're doing your thing at practice, if you're busting somebody's ass at practice, they're going to allow you to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are. And so I think you have a lot of critics who are not at – nobody's at practice, right? A lot of critics are the coaching staff who will beat them up and say, so-and-so should be playing, so-and-so should be playing, so-and-so should be playing, so-and-so should not be playing.
Right.
None of us are at practice.
right? With a quarter of the information, right?
None of us. So we can hear that so-and-so is a really good player. We can hear that someone came in so hyped and was highly touted. We can hear that, or we can read, and we can have somebody tell us that someone was a top 40 player, or that someone can really shoot it. But if they're not showing it in practice or not defending in practice, it ain't gonna happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's at least I was fairly close to the program for 3 years. Right. Understanding everything that went on in practice, got the rundown, got the stories, talked to the coaches, talked to the players, talked to my kid. There is an opportunity. And far as you can say this, you can either agree or disagree because you're there every day. You were there every day.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm not telling the truth. Please correct me.
No, you're absolutely right. Every day is an audition.
Every day. So if those dudes aren't proving themselves in practice, especially defensively, there's a reason why they're not playing.
Yeah, no, yeah, there's fair. No reason. If someone's good enough to play, there is zero reason. I mean, outside of off the court issues, but there's zero reason for them not to play. So if they're not playing, there's the coaches get paid to do their job for a reason. So.
Yes. Yeah, people forget they're trying to win.
Right. They're not trying to coast through. They're trying to win. So.
And Faris, ask me this too. Answer this for me, please. And this is not. This is a very honest question. If someone says, hey, coach, so-and-so is playing really well, if one of the other coaches, if Jay Willie or Kyle Getter or Johnny Carpenter or Soderbergh or whoever it is comes to TB and says, hey, so-and-so is playing really well, you got to look at him. We got to give him a shot. Yeah. Is he open to that?
Yeah, he's absolutely open. He's open to any idea. He would ask me sometimes, what do you think of, like me, a manager who barely participated in practice, would ask me what I thought of guys. So he's whatever it does to help winning, he's open for it.
The definition of humility.
He's going to have he's going to have ultimate say, but shoot. I mean, open door. Your opinion matters. So
well, that's why he needs his own Twitter account so that we can tweet suggestions at him.
You know what? Yeah, what would that be? Or go through his wife or his daughter.
I think one of you guys said it. What I hear so often now are all these guys talking about where's the best place for me to get to the next level. And that kind of baffles me. A guy like Justin, because he's on the screen right now, so I'll use him. What next level is he thinking about? How about your college maturation? Not Justin, but a guy like that who's not an obvious NBA guy. He definitely will play professional basketball. But just your college maturation and this whole focus on kids has become, how do I get to the next level? And 0.0001% of the world gets to the next level being the NBA.
Yeah.
So I kind of, that kind of falls on deaf ears to me sense. And you can kind of run around yourself chasing getting to the next level. And again, you can go to college and play basketball at University of Virginia or North Carolina. You have unbelievable choices. So I'm not hating on that. But I just don't really get that thing of chasing the next level.
It's almost like the stories of the NBA almost work against you because you hear Malcolm Brogdon, second round pick, nobody wanted him, rookie of the year. And you hear Jeremy Lin sleeping on the couch, comes in 40 points against Kobe. And it gives you hope because you're like, hey, if he can do it, I can do it. And that's the message you always hear. You keep working hard. Anything can happen. It's basketball.
How many high schools and colleges did Jeremy Lin and or Malcolm Brogdon transfer from? I don't know. I'm guessing zero.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer.
I think that's where a lot of this year, this generation's, aspirations and goals get lost. Like there's a life outside of basketball, whether you're LeBron or me, you're going to eventually have to hang up your shoes and move on to the real world. So like there's a life, there's, what UVA can offer, or any UVA, UNC, any good school can offer outside of basketball is undervalued and underappreciated.
Right. Faris, please never, never, never compare LeBron to yourself.
His
hair is not even close.
That's hairline for sure. So. No, but if you think about it in terms of Justin McCoy, just because he's on the screen, riding the bench at UNC versus riding the bench at UVA. If that's the let's say worst case, he gets the same amount of minutes of playing time as he does at UNC as he does at Virginia. for him, that's an upgrade because he's from, you know, North Carolina. He loves UNC. Sure. That's his favorite team. Yeah. So, like, on that front, I can't blame the guy. It's like,
you absolutely can't. It's not, it's a different story if someone transfers from UVA to, I don't know,
Norfolk State,
not digging on their, you know, academics and all, but they just don't, they don't have the same outside of basketball presence as UVA does. So, you know, you're losing on that. So,
So
how do you, how does the Carolina fan base receive him from Virginia, who he has a loss against them, right? Like, how are they excited? Yeah. Are they?
Oh, I'm, if I'm a Carolina fan, I'm probably really, I'm like, wait, UVA didn't want him and he came to us. Well, he must, he must be a goat or something.
It's a weird one.
Time, right? Like, imagine King Rice back in my day transferring to Virginia.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
People hate, like, we, you know, not hate, but rivalry, didn't like the other players. Like, how does that, how does that?
Yeah, it's really, I can't wrap my head around it because it's never happened. We've never had all these interconference transfers. We got, this is something we got to get used to.
Wait, another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you say that people are going to perceive it as UVA didn't want him?
Why do I? Oh, no, I'm just, because he just transferred. Like, he's basically, I feel like we're so high up, like, we're above UNC at this point, not historically, but like in today's time. So, I mean, if UVA didn't want him, I feel like all the UNC fans will be like, well, that's, he's going to a step down technically basketball wise. So
he may not see it that way though, right? I mean, all the fans, because of the tradition and history.
I feel like a lot of,
I'm curious to know, like, and Doug, you brought that up earlier. What's the UNC fan base saying?
Yeah. I mean, how, probably, I mean, excited.
No, how could you be? Because he didn't get a ton of minutes. It's not like he's an all ACC caliber player leaving UVA. Yeah, right. So you're talking about a guy who didn't get a ton of minutes, and now he's coming to UNC. You can't be like, oh, he's changing the game. Like, it's just not going to happen. UNC's, you've seen their rafters. Like, I don't know.
He's still a player coming from UVA, and like he got an offer from UNC. It's not like he just got to choose.
Right.
He was offered a spot on their team, so.
Is coming out of high school, or you mean just
right now? I don't know. Maybe out of high school, but.
Like, I mean, he's got to be the best looking guy on their team now.
I don't know.
Well, they don't have too many guys left, so
it's funny. I don't even know the teams, man. Like, I don't know. They're talking about, people are talking about Duke and people. I think Duke got 12 transfers into the transfer board.
They do.
Like, who's there? I don't even know the guys on their team anymore.
It's going to be like free agency in the NBA. Who knows?
Dougie, by the way, are you wearing a robe or a smoky jacket?
No, it's a flannel. It was cold. It's cold up here, Marky. I'm miserable outside. It's a flannel.
You see my background. It's sunny.
It's freezing here. I just walked home.
Does anybody know the total minutes per game that the transfers combined for? The three guys.
I know Armand Franklin was 30.
Our guys?
Yeah, our guys.
Oh, I'm sure Gardner played like 47 minutes a game.
No, I'm talking about Justin and Casey.
Oh, the guys that left.
Yeah,
definitely less than 10.
Yeah, not a ton.
Right.
I think Casey was 20-ish his first year and 12-ish this year. Am I close enough?
12 seems like a lot. Let's see.
Just had it up.
Well, why are you looking?
I think I have a great idea for a company, for a one season thing. This fantasy transfer portal for next year.
Tennessee transfer portal?
Fantasy.
Oh, fantasy.
I hate fantasy football and all that stuff, but like you get to pick the transfers where they went, and you get a team of five or whatever. So you pick Justin, you pick Casey, Armand, whoever you can get, and see who ends up doing the best on their
new All right. I see what you're saying. Yeah. So it's a new fantasy game.
Yeah, a new fantasy game.
I mean,
and I hate the fantasy world, but that's a different story.
Casey played 15 minutes a game.
15.
I nailed it.
Justin played 11, and Jabri had 5.
Yeah.
Jabri played that many?
In eight games. So,
yeah.
So, not really. So, we didn't talk about Jabri yet. I didn't make a grab for him. He seemed like an obvious one that was. He's the one that we got the most DMs and questions and comments on our forum about Jabri because he was so highly touted.
Yeah. Right. It's understandable because the recruitment of him, I don't think lasted super long. Maybe not as drawn out as some of the others, but when we came in, like people got excited about it and then built it up huge. We never really got to see what he was capable of. And again, only the coaching staff and you know, the reasons. It's just people feel let down because, of course, we're fans and we unnaturally overestimate the impact that any one player can have on the results of the program or that any one player will have on the results of the program. So,
I think one comment I've seen a lot is, why don't we just play him to show everyone else?
This goes back to what you, I think Mark was saying, that none of us are ever in practice, so none of us actually see what he can do or what he produced at the college. Like, none of us saw what he did at the college level. We can watch his high school tapes, but high school and college aren't the same game. So none of us saw what he did. So there's obviously a reason he didn't play. The coaches aren't trying to point shave or anything. So none of us saw it. So
what about the moments when we're up, you know, on a team that isn't great or a big, throwing him in a little earlier? Is that disrespectful to the other team, or I don't know.
I'd love to see some of those guys get more minutes and just give him some run, because I was thinking earlier, what do you do when you have a player who just legitimately plays better in games than he does in practice? If you're judging everything off of what they do in practice, and this isn't like the Iverson thing, but it's you know, some guys are just built for games. Can that guy just not be successful in this program?
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I don't think that's kind of the case. There's not gamers.
There's players are they're out there. They're very, very rare. But I mean,
yeah, that's extremely rare.
At the end of the day, it's one man's decision to put the guy in or not put the guy in for his reasons. So
if you're not showing an aptitude for the plays, if you're not showing the skill level to be a good shooter or get to the basket or create, if you're not showing the understanding of defense and you're getting beat on defense in practice, or you're not rotating properly, or you're not having an understanding of the concept of pack line, how can I trust you?
Yeah, what have you shown?
Virginia's not that school. Virginia's not that school where you might say, hey man, this guy's a really good open court one-on-one player.
Right.
That's not the style of offense they have. So I could see it working out somewhere else for somebody like Casey, right? Or maybe Jabri, if that's who they think he, or if that's who he thinks he is. But that, like, that's just, you gotta fit in the system in a place like UVA.
You know what? I'm gonna retract. Sorry, Mark. Finish your thought, and I'll.
No, I was gonna go to high school where everybody did not agree on Jabri, how highly touted he was. No. There were a lot of people who, I don't know about a lot of people, there were some people who said he came in with a lot more hype than where he really should have been evaluated. Hmm. And I didn't see him play in high school. I've just spoken to different people, and some people say he was good, and some people say he's good, but not top 50 player.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. No comment.
Yeah. I mean,
comment.
That the question that I saw a lot in our forums and was, why not just play him? Because it's a bad look for us to get a five-star not playing, because five stars will no longer want to come here. But I'm like, that's completely counter to what we just discussed, that everyone, the sell here is you're not going to be given free minutes. You got to earn them. Then to go back on that word because you have five stars seems like why? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, well, you're not doing the kid a service to play him before he's ready.
Right.
Yeah. And so right. I don't know how accurate these rankings are. Like, I'm telling people pay sometimes. I'm not saying individually, but like there's certain organizations where you can get to, you know, gain another star and whatnot. It's just their rankings are rankings. What you put on film is what you can do. If you're a five star, you're not guaranteed 20 points a game. Like, that's not how it works. If that's how it worked, then Duke would never lose a game.
Right.
So I'm going to retract my statement to phony. I was a much better in-game player than a practice player in college, because I was going against John Crotty and Corey Alexander every day. So what am I going to do? What am I going to show? But when I got in games and I'm playing against somebody else, I occasionally did okay. So.
Yeah,
it's an interesting point to think about, right?
All right.
Like, you're going against the toughest defense in the country as a freshman, and maybe in the game against a different team, maybe you're different. That's
everybody looked bad.
One player I heard that was better in games than in practice, more than not, was Justin Anderson. I heard that in terms of like his shooting ability and stepping up, that he was more, his game numbers were very impressive.
I saw him practice a couple times in the summer before his first year, and he was impressive. So, twice.
I think it was just his shooting. That remember that year that he shot crazy percentages. I think it was a reference to that, where like, you know, he really shut the lights out. But anyway, all right.
I've never seen that player, by the way, who's not garbage but not so good in practice, but game time they show up. It's pretty uniform.
Next one on the note of UNC, we haven't talked about this one. Roy Williams stepping down.
Yeah, I mean, I always liked Roy. He was just, you know, his aw shucks attitude. I thought he was always, and I tweeted about it, he was always humble after wins and gracious after losses. Like the other guy down there could use a lesson in how to handle a loss. I liked Roy.
Great. He took 5 minutes on the transfer portal and said, "Nah, this is not for me anymore. I'm not doing this. This is with all the dudes going in and out. He's like, this is not what I'm used to. So I'm not gonna be a part of this anymore."
Yeah, it was an interesting move. I agree. I liked him ever since he's defended Pete Gillen like firmly. You know, it was like we bashed on Pete, but then when other people did it, it was like, hold on now. That's our job. You can't. Right. So when he defended him, I was like, oh, he's on our side. So anyway, I've always respected Roy for that reason and always cheered for UNC over Duke in the hatred. But when I was a kid, it was UNC that I hated. Like Dean Smith was the ultimate rival. But then for whatever reason, Roy was not it. Roy, I couldn't hate Roy. He was seemed like a really good dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then next one, our next commit transfer from ECU, Jaden Gardner. What do we know about him? Anybody?
The big get. Great, great post player. You know, I've heard from some people that are close to him. He really wanted to go to NC State, but they ran out of scholarships, so he couldn't go there. Really? So good for us.
Casey with the assist then.
Basically, Casey with the assist.
All right.
He's a big dude. I saw him in an interview. He's like huge. And I think he knows how to use that body. Right? I think both our commits have like low efficiency kind of numbers. But like for him, like he's a dog. Like he's got something that most of our guys lack this year.
Yeah.
And I think that fire is important.
Borderline almost averaging a double-double. So you got a dog on the glass and he's a real post threat. So
Travis Watson, that's my comparable.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's a good one.
I'm telling you, Travis Watson.
Might be a sneaky
6'7". 6'8". 6'7", 6'8". Yeah, about his size.
Mark, did you watch Travis in college play? No. Oh, man. He was so good. I don't know. How do you describe his game, TW? You know him better than me.
I mean, he had the thing. The difference is his wingspan was ridiculous. He wasn't super tall, but he had it.
It was like he was kind of reminded me of a shorter Moses Malone in a weird way.
He was really tough. And we didn't utilize him properly. Like he could have been an all-timer, but you know.
I think of him as an all-timer.
He is, but I feel like he could have been like a number in the rafters type player. And we just didn't go to him enough.
Right, exactly. So often like he would just be a beast in the post of the game. And
he got his own. Right?
He'd get him the ball.
Yeah. Right. We would never give him the ball
by himself, not because
exactly. Like if he was,
yeah, we have a guy that can score it well. It happens.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. I'm looking forward to the addition of Jaden Gardner. We'll see though. He's small. What have you heard, Mark?
So I saw a video and I haven't talked to anybody really, but I'm not sure. I'm hoping what he did in the AAC translate into the ACC. Right, two different leagues, two different conferences. Yep. And he's Jaden Gardner, from what I understand, is about 6'5", 6'6", right? Which you can still be very successful in the AAC, right? Yep. But you come to the ACC where guys are longer arms, They're playing in the ACC because they're more talented, they're more skilled, they're longer, they're better athletes. Great. Right? But when watching his video, he's got a high IQ around the basket. He's got soft hands. He's developing a mid-range game. He's a great finisher. But again, it's a different conference.
Yep.
He's a dog, though. If you're a dog, you're a dog. He reminds me of last year, Oregon had a player, Eugene Omorui. That dude was like 6'6", 6', like undersized five man. But my gosh, dog.
This kid, Jaden Gardner, is not an explosive athlete.
Yeah, he's not as explosive. He's not nearly as explosive as that guy. But I don't know. Some of those postmen that are undersized and they're dogs, they're hard to guard.
I'm not telling he's not going to have a great career. Obviously, we're all hoping he is. I just know that, like, people get excited often, right? Yeah, and my thing is, like, let's not put so much pressure on him to be the savior.
Yeah, right.
He's not the savior.
You know, I'm excited about him because he's such a change of pace from the kinds of bigs that we've had. These very, you know, either, you know, Jay Huff was, you know, I mean, completely different kind of big. Jack Salt was different. This guy, we just haven't had a guy that has a lot of post moves and that just is really one of those dogs and just gets at it. And I has there been anyone on Tony Bennett? I mean, do you go back, like, I mean, size wise, I don't think he's really that comparable to Anthony Gill, but you know, Anthony Gill used to fight.
Yeah.
On the post, and he was maybe, you know, we just haven't had a lot of guys like that doing that on offense.
And so, Gill was an explosive athlete too. Like,
yeah.
One comment I read and saw: Kelvin Sampson, after they played ECU, he had 29 and 19 on Houston, and his comment was, "You don't know who to put on him. We came in with a game plan against him. We threw out the window in 3 minutes, and that the new one didn't work. So we said, okay, let's go a different route. That didn't work. Jaden Gardner is the best player we've played against."
Wow.
That was Kelvin Sampson.
What was the score to the game?
I think Houston won, but it was a tight game.
Yeah, no, they beat somebody good this year. They beat somebody.
I'll say something about a kid like Gardner. He's going to come from ECU to the ACC, and he's going to want to make his mark, right? He's going to want to prove he belongs. And again, back to Coach Bennett and the staff, depending on the leash they give him and what he can, if he feels free up and he can do what he wants, I think a guy like that can be fun for us, right?
Yeah.
He wants to go at the All-Americans and the McDonald's guys and whatever. So
chip on his shoulder kind of guy.
Yeah, chip on his shoulder, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yep.
And then, are we expecting more? Are we expecting more transfers? I imagine we are, but I don't think so.
Yeah, we should be. More, definitely more incoming people.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably one more transfer.
Four or five times. I mean, obviously, Jay and Sam announced they're not returning. Tomas also, he was a little, I think he was like 80% sure he wasn't returning, but now this makes it official. He signed with a team and.
Oh, wow.
That's nice. Awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. So he's going to be on the podcast later this week and he's got a special announcement for UVA fans. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to drop that later this week. Ooh. We talked with him right at the end of the season. And yeah, anyway, be on the lookout. That's all I can say. People are going to love this one. And that's it. That's all I had this week. Anything else, you guys?
No, man, it's good to kind of step away for a little bit, but I mean, I'm already kind of jonesing for basketball games.
Yeah, I mean, we can maybe next time we can catch up with the guys in the league. I mean, they're doing.
TJ Grahams.
TJ Grahams also. We're going to try to.
Yeah, he's now the Dobo at George Mason. So
that's pretty cool. Shout out TJ Grahams.
Yeah, shout out TJ Grahams.
Yeah, we're going to have him on as a podcast guest, so I'm trying to coordinate that. That would be really cool. Now that he's unleashed from UV Athletics, he can tell us the real story.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he just announced it today, but I think he's been there for a little while now, which is great. I think he wanted to get into coaching. TJ Grahams, he was the academic advisor for
Oh, okay.
UVA basketball, but he also did a lot of basketball work, right, Forrest? Like he's
he was an academic coordinator, but like on the bench during games, points per possession, doing all the stats. Like he was an academic coordinator, but he also wasn't an academic coordinator.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, absolutely deserves it. Great guy.
And cool. And Matt Palumbo is going to be over there too, right?
Yeah, Matt Palumbo, GA. Former manager, now a GA at George Mason.
Oh, he can hoop too, right, Matt?
Established the pipeline. Yeah, he can. He's a real – he's got a strap on him.
He can shoot it.
Yeah.
With range.
I think I saw that Duke you guys game or whatever, and I saw
he
can, the guys featured.
I mean, he was brought in as a manager, but with the eye in practice, right? Forrest, was that
– Yeah, he was intended to – I mean, he did way more than that, did above and beyond, but – Yeah, the intention was for him to be a practice player.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty good.
So yeah, we'll look out. We'll have some more interesting podcasts to listen to, different aspects of it. We'll try to catch up. I know Devin Hall is playing really well. We just had Akil on. He was incredible. Yeah.
What UVA pros are not playing really well?
That's a good question.
You see Malcolm like Dragon posted every day on the forum.
He's incredible. He's so underrated.
9-8.
He's so underrated.
Doing his thing. You know, Kyle does his thing when he comes in. Akil, etc. London, I'm not sure.
Mamadi.
Man, he looks he can actually dribble now. It's incredible.
Yeah. It is. Mamadi's hopefully gonna
he looks like well, I see clips. I don't see the game. He looks like a straight up NBA player.
He does. I mean, he did at UVA though. Like when you go back and watch his last year here, he was so much bigger than everyone else in the way he moved and stuff. And it was like, what were we thinking? Like this guy. Once he left, you realized the hole he left on defense.
Yeah, I just think he was poised for some kind of success that postseason.
Yeah,
and. So what was that in 20, I guess.
I know. I wish we could have gotten to see it.
Awful. Yeah.
It's a shame. All right. Appreciate you guys. Quick show today.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead. Leave a comment. 5 stars below.
Like and subscribe. Whatever that means.
Yeah, exactly.
Retweet.